This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
This is David Morgan, and this is the weekly perspective for the week of 10 May 2019. Right off the bat, I want everyone to know that this is not going to be the normal weekly perspective with my accounting for the major financial news of the week as I see it, with comments and then briefing about the metals. This is one that I will be doing probably about once a quarter, which is a bunch of questions that come in through a portal that I give out occasionally for the general public, which means non-subscribers or non-paid subscribers for the free list. So before I get there, let me just do a brief rundown. Early May, as you know, and I just want to go through where we stand with energy and the metals. So as of last week, closing prices were off about 5% in the aluminum market. We're off about 38% in cobalt. Copper's up about 4%, lead is off 6%, nickel's up 14%, tin is flat, zinc is up about 14%. Gold from the year start till now is flat, palladium is up about 8%, platinum is up 9.6%, silver is off 3.7%, and the gold-silver ratio is above 85. The XAU is off only 3%, and the HUI is off about 5%. The dollar, as strong as it keeps, we hear, is only really up 1.4% for the year. I think the more interesting sector as far as price appreciation is concerned is the energy sector. Crude is up 43% from the beginning of the year. Heating oil is up 23%. Natural gas is off 14%, and gasoline is up about 60%. So having said all that, I'm going to get right into these questions. I try to make them anonymous, meaning not putting out anyone's email, obviously. And I do use the first name. Most of them are fairly common. So it's a long one. I may do it in a couple weeks. I'm not sure. I've got several queued up here. So let's get started. Okay. First of all, thank you. If you were just starting out and had 1,000 ounces of silver and maybe 5 ounces of gold, would you continue to accumulate your physical base, or would you start to diversify with perhaps some mining stocks? If you continue to accumulate, which metals do you choose and what type, assuming you have primarily focused on constitutional in the past? Thanks. I'm strongly considering becoming a member, Gabe. These are individual choices. I mean, I have people that follow our work that never, ever want to invest in a mining stock or a resource company. And then there's most of our people that are on the paid service and several that are on the free service. Split it. They do both. And that's, I think, the best, but that's my preference, not everyone's. So really, it boils down to you, so I'm throwing it back at you. I have traded recently some gold for platinum. I did that recently. It's working in my favor right now. And I would say, from my perspective, you probably own enough silver and gold physically to go ahead and start diversifying into some mining stocks. The problem is that they are amplifying the metals prices. In other words, they're leveraged, even if you're not using margin, which I don't encourage. I encourage you to just own them outright, which means if gold goes up, you get about a 3-to-1 ratio on the way up or 3-to-1 on the way down. So if you've never invested in stocks before, I'd say probably the best thing is to continue to just keep stacking. You might consider, I think palladium is overdone. You might consider some platinum. But there's big premiums going in and out of both those markets, platinum and palladium. So that's my ideas on that. And by the way, when you join the Morgan Report, the first thing you get is a cue to read how to use the Morgan Report. And I go through a fictitional portfolio based on a certain amount of money, and you can just divide that number by your number. And how much going to the top tier, how much in the mid tier, how much to speculate with, how much to own physical, how much to own between gold and silver. And it's all hypothetical, but I go through it very carefully so that you can kind of adjust that for your best well-being as far as risk and reward, age, and expectations. Okay, so next question. I'm really interested in the great economic collapse. Will happen before the end of 2020. Have a great day, and I really like watching the interviews. And did anyone ever tell you that you and Keith Neumeyer could be brothers? Laugh out loud. Have a great day, Nick's. So when will it happen? I wish I knew, but I don't. Will it be before the end of 2020? Possibly. I have another one queued up further down. I think it asked will be this year. I'm certain it won't be this year. Although looking back, you might say the Great Recession started in 2019. So I'm too very interested. And the last comment I'll make, Nick, for you and for everyone's benefit is that really, in my view, and I can make a strong argument, others have as well, that the great contraction started with the crisis of 2008, and we haven't really recovered from that. But unless it affects you directly, like you were a Wall Streeter and you cleaned out your desk the next day and were kicked out on the street, or were one of the many bankruptcy filings that took place, 2008 is over a decade ago, and, life goes on. The QE has worked somewhat, very little, but somewhat. Certainly has liquefied the banks and has certainly helped the stock market. But again, the collapse, I think, really has kind of happened in 2008, and it's kind of just in a static state, meaning it's just kind of not gotten better or worse. And, my best guess would be we can't make it to 2025. So I wish I had a better answer for you, but I'm not going to BS you. You know me too well. I won't do that. Next, do you keep an eye on undersea mining? How closely are they making it cost-effective, Michael? I don't really. I do know of a few. I look at it at a cursory level, and we're far more effective with my top spec, which does mining from electronic waste. It's not really cost effective. Will it be someday? Perhaps, but I don't follow it very much. Will the insidious manipulation of the silver spot price with paper contracts end before the end of 2019, Tom? No, it won't. It'll keep going until the physical market takes hold of the paper paradigm. And when will that happen? The answer again is I do not know. Again, to repeat, I think it will happen before 2025. In fact, I do expect that this year will continue to be a good year for the metals, but not a great year. But I do expect to see some strength in the metals markets before the end of this year. But I don't expect much from this point through the summer months. It's traditionally weak for the precious metals. I appreciate your contrarian view. I'm wondering how you see price action of silver versus Bitcoin in the coming years. Say for the equivalent investment amount in silver or Bitcoin, which will outperform? The answer is I do not know, Randall, but I suspect the Bitcoin might outperform silver. And that's what I'll say. I think they'll both be parabolic again at some point in the future. Thank you for your service you provide, which prevents supply-demand laws from governing precious metals prices. The prices don't behave as other commodities do. Why not? Especially for an element that the United States Geological Service said is becoming even more difficult to get. Thanks again, Richard. So let's break this down a little bit. First of all, the USGS has said that the amount of silver available is an element that we may run out of. That's based on current prices. So what's economic silver at $15 an ounce is a limited amount. But if silver is at $100 an ounce, a lot of uneconomic deposits become economic. Further, excuse the ego, but we are very studied on the topic. And there are some really large deposits that have not yet been utilized for silver supply. So I don't think, I'm pretty convinced that we're at peak gold, but I don't think we're at peak silver. And you can read about that in the Silver Manifesto, although that book is out of print right now. Do not spend a bunch of money on Amazon, like $200 or whatever. I will probably republish that book. It's self-published and up the price. I'm sorry, folks, but I got to make a living as well. If you don't like that, then, find another channel. I'll probably put it up to about $50. $30, I'm losing money on every book. So anyway, I digress. Okay, what it prevents supply-demand laws from governing precious metals prices. The supply is a paper supply. So as long as the extreme amount of paper product can be produced, that will suppress the price if and only if the physical supply meets the actual needs of the people that need physical metal. And so far, that's been the case most of the way through this bull market, but not in all the time frame. For example, in the 2008 financial crisis, the demand for physical took on the paper paradigm and caused a price discrepancy between the physical price and the paper price. And that probably, in my view, will happen again. The prices don't behave as other commodities do. I'm going to argue they do. The paper paradigm exists in oil markets and the cotton market and orange juice and cocoa and cotton and everything else, but not nearly to the level that it does in the silver market. So most commodities trade based on contract price rather than physical requirement price. And that is not a true picture of what the actual physical would be if there weren't these paper paradigms. But again, silver is an extreme. So hopefully that helps you. And if you didn't, if I didn't do a good job, next time I open up to the public for, or I should say to the free list for questions, you can ask me again. Hi, David. I'd like to try this too. Situation in Europe is at a point of silliness, so I think the perfect time for strategic moves and your expertise will be needed for future establishment of the world. Right in a small but beautiful country called Slovakia, we have a long history of mining and producing gold and silver coins to mid-Europe. So everything is changing, but only few know where to look for a safe life. No wars, no politics, just good, and of course, it can be better. If I can offer my background to you, your flexibility, it will become a no-brainer, but fact about new world's existence. So I'm waiting for your personal words that can add to words of prophets. All the best for now, and talk to you soon. Understand I have a good life and been to places at this moment, enjoying countryside and simple life. I love to study whatever I can open and find very interesting, then study and add more study. Peace, mirror. So that was just a compliment to me, and thank you for calling me a prophet. I certainly don't see it that way, but I appreciate your comments. All right, next. I'm a private individual with a smaller budget for investing in precious metals. I'm also not a U.S. citizen, but live in Europe, the Netherlands, with a normal day job and a family, what requires most of my time. So some insight into the market is helpful. This is the reason I signed up for your free newsletter, and mainly because it is free. I would like to get more knowledge and deeper insight what the paid services gives. However, the paid service is likely 6% of my investing budget and would hardly justify the paid letter for myself and my wife. Maybe you have some insight now I could justify for a small investor. No, I would say if it takes up that much of your investable funds, don't bother. I'm not here to twist anybody's arm. What you will get is some very interesting picks throughout the resource sector with some insights that no one else has, and a couple, one silver situation and one, as I said earlier, electronic waste situation that I think is going to be an absolute game changer. But the company so far is so underpromoted that nobody except Morgan Report paid subscribers know about it. Actually, I did put it out to the free list once or twice, but so you may know of it. I've already invested in the physical precious metals because I also believe there's something seriously wrong in the financial sector and monetary policies. Maybe you could include your views on how things will work out for a European like me in a free newsletter. You know, I will say, although I go to Europe fairly regularly, not as much as I did when the metals were, you know, the best thing you could own between 2000 and 2011, but I'm not qualified enough to really give you more insight into that. I will make this general comment, same as in the United States. There'll be certain areas in the U.S., and this applies to Europe as well, that'll be very much affected at a very minor level or hardly at all. There'll be other areas in the same country, the U.S. and other parts of Europe, that'll be heavily affected. So it sort of depends on where you are as far as what to expect. In the U.S., for example, if you are in a major city with a high population density and a lot of welfare recipients, then those inhabitants will be very unhappy as things unravel. And that would be a very dangerous area to be in. But other parts where it's more rural, maybe the Midwest, where it's a small population density and people are farming, you will see some changes and noticeable, but it really won't affect your life that much. Other question I have is, when the top for the coming boom in silver will you call the top in your free newsletter? Well, obviously, I always am partial to our paid people. And believe it or not, I have called every top in the silver market all the way up, every one of them. Even the 720 or 750 top, I forget the exact number. So we went from 555 on the breakout to 750 or so, back down, kissed this 555 level, went up to, oh, I forget. Anyway, I know 21 was one of the tops. I called that. And then I called the biggest top we've had so far in this run. And that was, of course, near 48 in the last day or so of April 2011. So, yes, I will be calling it for my paid people first. And once that's done, usually it leaks out everywhere. And, of course, I would mention that on the free letter probably a week or two afterward. Hello from Malta, Europe. I've come to a sizable amount of scrap silver. Should I melt it down for eventual resale? What weight? 1 kilo, 500 grams, 250 grams. Paul, the smaller the better. You get a higher premium, so that would be my comment on that. You also might check the price that you get just wholesaling it out as is, and then do a quick study on the back of an envelope on how much it's going to cost you in energy, time, employees, or whatever. Probably do it yourself, but yeah, how much more you'll receive. Since it's a non-verified, non-known refinery, you'll still be selling at a pretty sharp discount, I would imagine. I don't know the Europe market like I know the U.S. market, but I know the market, and which means you might be better off just getting the money as is rather than smelting it, but it's your choice. I would actually definitely would do that study and see if it's worth it or not. Next. As we both know, crash in the stock market is inevitable. Is now the best time to buy gold and silver miners or after the crash? I'm worried that how much typically miners get hurt in a crash, especially junior miners. Financial conditions are quite extraordinary now, but it's so hard for me to see how these stocks react in financial turbulence. Thank you for your answer. Greetings from Finland. So far, it's been a great journey to learn from the experts. Well, thank you for the compliment. Normally, in a big stock market crash, everything goes down with it, including gold and silver. That's what we saw in 2008. I expect that would happen again. The caveat here is that the miners are so low that they don't have much room to the downside. So from my perspective, if you're worried about a stock market crash taking them down, you can wait. It may not happen, or maybe buy half now and wait. I think that's a better strategy because you would have half a loaf of bread and rather a full loaf. So if something did happen and they move down further, which is possible, it'd probably be very temporary, like what happened in 2008. So I think if you choose the right ones, they're probably worth holding to any real quick dip. But you do make a point that, when things get real rough, everything goes. Next. Hi, David. I've been following you for years. Thank you for all you do. Question. Other than MAG and First Majestic, which I own, is there a small silver miner that is most potential once silver starts to move higher? Still following your top spec, but it sure doesn't have a lot of daily volume for liquidity. Yeah, it's true. It doesn't. Yeah, I have one in the spec list that I really, really like, and I think it's probably better than MAG, believe it or not. I'm not going to give it out for the free list. People pay us for our research. But thank you, Denny, and thank you for the question. I think you wrote about Hut Mining 2 or 3 years ago. They have a large land package mining assets in Argentina. That company seems to just be barely alive with production. Do you anticipate anything positive coming from your Spokane neighbor? Someday I'll subscribe to your letter as soon as gold and silver wake up. Actually, David Smith and I made a trip to Argentina a long time ago. We did a full write-up in the Morgan Report and actually did some filming. And they have made slow and steady progress. And like that company, like many, once gold and silver wake up, as you stated, Russ, you will see that stock and many others that will do pretty darn well. They usually do. I think you could pretty much count on that. Hello, David. Thoughts on First Majestic? I think it's a great company from both a long-term hold and a trader. I trade that stock fairly regularly. If you look at 2016, I think we got in at 250 and got out at 18. So that shows the amount of leverage in these companies. Silver did not make that kind of percentage gain. It made a good gain, but nothing close to what First Majestic did. So I like it. It's liquid. It's a New York Stock Exchange company. Lots of people trade it. It gets shorted a lot. If you know what you're doing, which I do, you can do pretty well with that stock in both a hold or really, I prefer to trade it. Okay, next. I'm not at a stage to join the report just yet. Question, given the loss of gold from the U.S. reserves in the 60s as nations were effectively returning dollars to repatriate metal resulting in a flooding the paper supply domestically, Nixon pretty much had to pull the U.S. to a fiat system. Should we ever reinstitute a gold standard, the same thing will likely happen with all the QE floating about. I suspect that based on this, it would be impossible for the U.S. to go on a gold standard. Is there any monetary system that can have a physical backing yet be non-fungible of the base supply? So I'm going to stop with that sentence and move backwards. So basically saying, you know, with all the QE, can we go back on a gold standard? First of all, I doubt we'll ever go back on a true gold coin standard where basically it's no BS and there isn't even certificates with redeemable for gold. It's purely gold. That's the best gold standard that exists, and that is not going to happen. Now, if you set the price of gold correctly and account for all the frickin' QE that's already in the system, you could, in theory, set the gold price at the right level and account for all the paper that's been printed. And if and only if you were able to maintain the money supply at that level or close to it, then, in theory, a gold currency / standard would work. In other words, where you would have a gold redeemability basis of piece of paper or your debit card or whatever. So now breaking it down further into kind of the second part, is there a monetary system that could have a physical backing yet be non-fungible, the base supply? Is that crypto? Yeah, you could. You could certainly have, gold-backed crypto, silver-backed crypto, precious metals-backed crypto. Do you think this may be why the metals are so manipulated and why gold will never be allowed to approach its true value? I wouldn't say never. I don't like that word. I think that gold, as Mike Maloney says, does an accounting of all the fiat that's been printed from time to time. It certainly happened in 1980. I do think it will happen again. And I will be, as in the previous question a few ago, I said I will call the top to the best of my ability, obviously. Can any nation afford to do it? I think, and this is, a question to me, I think both China and Russia, perhaps India, perhaps all the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, but particularly China and Russia, have got enough gold that they could probably afford to do it right now, but they're not. They're going to hold off and kind of wait to see how this thing unravels. I hope this makes sense. I'm rather new, rather novice. My interest is to establish a backup if I'm stuck in a state of medical care facility drooling on myself. And they've taken everything I own. I want my boys to be able to cash an ounce occasionally so I have beer money every month, Ed. So, Ed, you might look at our other website on Precious Metals Holdings and sign up for a monthly purchase program. It's a situation I actually like quite well. So this is, it's called PreciousMetalsSavingsProgram.com, a long title, but it's PreciousMetalsSavingsProgram.com. It takes about 10 minutes to sign up. You save automatically in gold and silver. You can actually use platinum palladium as well. You buy near spot, and when you cash out, you pay the premium. So in other words, if you're buying silver, you're buying a block of silver, basically a commercial bar, which no one really wants for investment or very few. But when you cash out, you pay that, $2 premium for a Silver Eagle, for example, which is what the dealers pay. So anyway, you can sign up, give us the first name and your email. Talks about it here. You can see how to get started. I've offered this to everybody, really. It's available for anybody in the U.S. or Canada. That's it. If you're in Australia or Europe, sorry, it won't work. So that's it. I'm going to close out. Just couple final words really quickly that if you're on the free list, you might want to check the blog a couple, three times a week. Stay on the free list. We do make offers from time to time. Any dealer you see that offers metal that's on our free list has been vetted by me personally, which means you could trust them. There are some offers that people really like. There are some offers people don't. If you don't, just, you know, bypass it. Just delete it and move on. Every time I do an interview, it gets posted to the free list. And then, of course, these questions will be coming about every quarter or so. I'm about halfway through them, and I'm almost at a half an hour. So I'm going to stop here, probably pick it up next week and finish it off. I will be in Las Vegas speaking on at the Money Show twice. I'll be speaking on money, past, present, and future, which will go into the cashless society and the cryptocurrencies and why they're probably going to be mandated for everybody's use as a monetary system or the new monetary system. And I'll also be speaking on the resource sector and how most people make drastic mistakes investing in the mining shares and how to avoid those mistakes. So that's it. Thank you for writing. I don't open this up that often. When I do, you can see I get flooded with questions, but they're all good. I do it in this manner because I think it's beneficial to everybody that's on the free list, and hopefully it is. And I'll be back with you next week. Remember, there's nothing more powerful than the truth.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.